Kia ora katoa. Welcome to this week's episode of Safe and Sound, New Zealand's only animal rights radio show. My name's Katrina McLennan, and it's my great pleasure to host the next three episodes of Safe and Sound. Ahead of the 23 September general election, I'm going to be speaking to politicians about their party's animal policies. If you go to the website www.animalagenda2017.org.nz, you can look at a table and see which parties have the best and worst policies about animal welfare. We've given each of the nine main parties a mark out of 20 for its animal policies. First up today, we're starting with the Opportunities Party and the Green Party. Let's welcome Jessica Hammond-Dobe from the Opportunities Party. Kia ora, Jessica. Welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me, Katrina.
Now, the Opportunities Party is a new party and it doesn't actually have either an animal policy or an animal spokesperson. And your philosophy is to focus on only a certain number of key issues. So maybe you can tell us a bit about that first.
Yeah, sure. So the party has only been in existence since November, and we definitely don't want to focus on just a few issues. But just because of that time and because of the approach we take to developing policies, we haven't developed policies in all the areas we care about yet. So because we follow evidence very strongly and we have a pretty long development process for our policies, it does take us a while. So we have policies on a lot of the really big fundamental issues that affect New Zealanders, but we don't have, for instance, a defence policy or a foreign policy yet. And we also don't have an animal policy yet.
But I think within some of your bigger policies, there are aspects that are relevant to animal issues. For example, I think TOP is not really in favour of intensive farming because TOP would be concerned about the environmental impact of that. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. So we have a climate change policy and we have an environment and a water quality policy. And we also have a health policy coming out very soon. And all of these things affect our views on farming, on what's going to work for New Zealand and what's not. For instance, we have a very strong climate change policy. We know that agriculture is a huge contributor to climate change, so that is going to affect farmers. Our water quality and water right approaches will affect farming as well. I mean, basically, we want to have the incentives in there so that farmers internalise their costs. And when that happens, the most costly, environmentally speaking, kinds of farming are going to be disfavoured, and that is that intensive agriculture, which also happens to be the kind of farming that is worse for the animals.
Yes, so as part of your concern about climate change and the environment, then you would probably favour less dairying and perhaps moving gradually toward horticulture rather than agriculture. Would that be right?
Well, I think it's, you know, some kinds of horticulture are more environmentally friendly than others.
Sure.
So it's not quite as straight a line as that. But I think that is what is like to be one of the effects of it. I don't know if you've heard of the One Health approach that the New Zealand Veterinary Association uses. So the idea that environmental health, human health and animal welfare, a lot of the time, an awful lot of the time, all points in the same direction, which is less intensive farming. Better for human health, better for the environment and better for the animal.
Have you got specific ideas about what sort of horticulture you'd like to see more developed?
Not specifically. I mean, we'd very much let the, putting in the carbon price and putting in the water trading rights and then seeing what flows out of that. Basically, if you don't internalise your costs, then you have farming of animals and of plants not necessarily happening in the right places. So dairy farming in the Mackenzie Basin without shelter, there's a lot of reasons why that's not a good idea.
Yeah, so I think this is going to be an increasing way that things operate in both animal and environmental concerns, that environmentalists and people concerned about animals are probably going to work together more because they've actually got a common end, even if they're coming from a different starting point.
That's so true. I mean, the Opportunities Party, we don't shy away from anything that is going to aggravate any particular industry. You can see that with a lot of our policies.
Or any person, perhaps.
What was that? Oh, well, let's not go into that.
No.
But yeah, that's very much our approach, is let's follow the evidence, have people internalise their costs, and see what comes out in the wash.
Okay. Yeah. And speaking a bit about you, you've done a master's in bioethics and you're a vegan. So tell us a bit more about that.
Yeah, so I did philosophy, psychology and economics at university, but my master's was in bioethics. I studied a lot of Peter Singer. I read all of his work about animal welfare, and I found it extremely challenging coming from a family of carnists. But, you know, I read it and I thought, well, I guess I'll start having free-range eggs and free-range chicken and free-range pigs. And I felt bad about it. So I probably spent about 18 years feeling guilty and having this cognitive dissonance going on in my brain. And it was only a couple of years ago when my brother, who is a human rights photojournalist and really, really values integrity, he became vegan, showed me it was possible, sat me down and made me watch Cowspiracy. And I thought, I can't handle the cognitive dissonance or the guilt anymore. And so I went vegan overnight coming up 2 years ago. And yeah, I feel really good about that.
And tell us a bit about Gareth Morgan. Obviously, the Opportunities Party's leader is crusading for a predator-free New Zealand. Obviously, one of the tools that we're using at the moment is 1080, which is incredibly cruel to animals. Just talk to us a bit about that.
Yeah, I should just make clear that predator-free New Zealand and the Opportunities Party are quite separate. They do have a common relationship with Gareth.
Yeah.
There are different organisations and different agendas there. But my understanding of predator-free New Zealand is that they kind of see 1080 as a necessary evil at the moment, particularly for those inaccessible parts of New Zealand, and they see it as something that they feel kind of has to happen while we develop less cruel techniques to make sure that in the meantime these species are still there when those new techniques come about. But I shouldn't really speak for them, but that's my understanding of their views on 1080.
Right, sure. Now, if the Opportunities Party gets into Parliament, I understand that you'd like it to work on developing an animal policy or work perhaps with other parties on specific animal issues that might come up in Parliament.
Yeah, so basically we think that good ideas and good policies are good ideas and good policies, whoever comes up with them. We don't really like this cross-party arguing thing. So, you know, I know a lot of the parties do have really good animal policies. I mean, we would still go through our process where we look at the research and we see where that leads us. But, I mean, obviously, personally, I would like to see us have some really strong animal welfare policies, and I would be definitely putting my hand up to work on those after the election. The thing about that, actually, probably a lot of people don't know about Gareth. The first time I met him, you know, we were just talking about ourselves. You know, you make sure you've got all your cards on the table. And so my veganism came up, and I wasn't sure how he'd react, because you're never sure how people react to that. And he's like, oh, yeah, two of my kids are vegetarian and one of them's vegan. I know.
Wow.
So, okay. We're going to get along fine.
Yeah.
So he at least understands where that's coming from. I am the only vegan in the party. I think I might be the only vegan candidate in the country, but there are a lot of people who are sympathetic and don't like seeing animals suffer.
Yeah. And do you have ideas about which specific animal issues you'd like to try and progress?
The way we would do things, I think, would be the same way we've approached other social issues. For example, poverty. We looked at the evidence for who is suffering from poverty in New Zealand the most, and that's families with very young children. So that's why our unconditional basic income started. The first one was for those young families. And I think we'd probably take the same approach to animal welfare. Again, I suspect that intensive agriculture would be pretty high on that list. I mean, I know there are experts out there who would have a lot of evidence for where the greatest scale and intensity of animal suffering is. So I expect that would be our first cabs off the rank, if you want to put it that way. Yeah,
because you'd have to say the millions of animals used in factory farming in Aotearoa, and also the poisoning to get rid of so-called pests, that, you know, those are two aspects in which huge numbers of animals suffer horrendously.
Yes. You know, fishing's another thing that I really worry about for all sorts of reasons, and I think the poor fish are often really forgotten. I'm sure from a pragmatic point of view, in some cases it's going to be about, you know, New Zealand being New Zealand, how to... It may not be about minimising the number of animals that die, realistically. That, you know, I can't see in the near-term government as a whole doing much in that regard.
Mm.
But improving living conditions while the animals are alive,
yeah,
is, I think, the least we can do.
Yeah. Yeah. And another aspect of the Opportunities Party's policy is the democracy reset. And that would that would enshrine the rights of the native environment to existence, including flora and fauna, in a written constitution. Now, one of the items on Animal Agenda Aotearoa is legal personality for animals. So do you think there could be some meshing of those?
You know, I hadn't thought of that, but that sounds very, very sensible to me. I think that basically once you recognise that animals are morally considerable, as Peter Singer would say, beings, then a lot of policy and law flows from there. So, that makes sense to me anyway. That's, you know, my personal view. It would be worth looking at.
And, I mean, now we actually have the Whanganui River and Te Ororoa National Park have legal personality, so we're actually developing precedents for entities beyond humans and companies to have a legal personality. And my view is that we won't really make serious progress on animal rights until animals actually have legal personality, because at the moment we've only recently got a declaration of sentience in the Animal Welfare Act, but that's not something that can be legally enforced.
Right. Yeah, I'm sure there are many mechanisms we could do. And really, after the election, I would want to work with... There are a lot of people who have been working on this for a long time who would have, I'm sure, some really fantastic ideas for how we could strengthen the law.
And so if you're in Parliament, you're open to working with as many different parties as possible if there's some way of improving things for animals.
Yeah, that's right. We want to sit on the crossbenches and give confidence and supply to... whichever parties are going to help get our policies across the line. We don't care about left or right. It's about doing what works for New Zealand. You know, that would be the same for any individual policy as well. We don't like party politics, basically. We just want to do what works.
Yeah. And so you think you'd be able to persuade people within TOP that animal issues are important and that that's something they should be spending a bit more time on if they do get into Parliament?
Well, I mean, I can't speak for all the other candidates, but what I do know about them is one thing we have in common is a commitment to fairness and a commitment to following evidence. So I think that the candidates are top, as though, you know, I know these issues can be very confronting for people who are not vegan. It can be very confronting for people who are vegan as well. I think I'll have better luck in TOP than a lot of parties. That would be my prediction anyway. We'll see.
That sounds like a good place to leave it. I think you're hoping to get fairness expanded beyond humans, and that sounds like an excellent plan to me. Thanks so much for your time, Jessica. That's been really informative.
Thank you, Katrina.
Kia ora Mojo, welcome to the program. It's great to have you here. Can you tell me what the key points of the Green Party's 2017 animal policy are?
Hi, Christina. Right, well, I'm very proud of the Green Party animal welfare policy. I think that we have the strongest animal welfare policy of all the parties in government. And our key point is that we want to see all animals in New Zealand being well cared for and have a decent quality of life, able to express the full range of natural behaviour. At the moment, that doesn't happen for many animals in New Zealand, particularly for animals used in farming and other productive uses. So to oversee all of that, what we want to do is to have a separate minister for animal welfare, separate from the minister for primary production. Because at the moment, there is an inherent conflict of interest in that the Minister for Primary Production is advocating for increased production and intensive land use and so on, that it often compromises animal welfare outcomes. So we believe that if we have a separate minister, that there will be less of a conflict of interest and more able to advocate for animals. And to have a separate office for animal welfare that takes the animal welfare enforcement side out of MPI and into a separate office, just to create that separation of conflicts of interest that happens at the moment. In addition to that, we also want to establish a commissioner for animal welfare that's completely independent of political party, so that they have the power to investigate and report back on animal welfare issues in New Zealand and report back to Parliament in the same way that, say, the Commissioner for Citizens Welfare or for the Parliamentary Commissioner for the Environment does.
And what are the most important animal issues you want to make progress on in the next 3 years?
Well, in the next 3 years, it would depend very much if we were in government or not. If we were in government, obviously getting some of the big structural changes that I was talking about before around separation of conflicts of interest and establishing a commissioner for animal welfare would be very high priority. And also, if assuming that we're in government with Labour, and Labour has said they will take action on factory farming, so I would very much like to see that happen and bring an end to factory farming in New Zealand, because it's just appalling what's happening in these highly intensive factory farms in New Zealand. And we've seen many high-profile examples of the appalling animal welfare impact that goes on in these factory farms. So we have an opportunity, because both Labour and the Greens have said that they want to end factory farming, is to actually get the ball rolling on that. If they're not in government, then I would very much still like to really campaign on firing quotes. Because, I mean, it's just so unacceptable.
Do you think there's much of a will from other political parties to progress animal issues? Obviously, you're hoping to work with Labour, but depending on what votes different parties get, they might need to be more than two parties supporting change. Which other parties could the Greens work with to make progress for animals?
I have to say that having been on the inside on select committees and so on, trying to push for better animal welfare outcomes, I felt like I've been pushing a big rock uphill, to be honest, at times. It's just like the gap between what the public want and what the other MPs and parties are prepared to move on is just enormous. I mean, it's very much the case that I think a lot of public opinion wanting better animal welfare outcomes is way ahead of where many parties are politically. And so, you know, I would like to see Parliament become more of a leader in animal welfare, but at the moment that's not happening. Like, for example, when the rodeo petition came to select committee, I mean, that was signed by 66,000 people. And the evidence that was presented to the select committee was of very high quality and absolutely, like, any select committee with its faults should have taken that petition and the evidence that was presented more seriously than it was taken.
Do you think it's going to be possible to outlaw factory farming in Aotearoa by 2020?
As much as I would love to see that happen, I just don't think it's going to happen within 3 years. And that's because there will be a huge amount of policy. Even if Labour and the Greens get in and they decide they want to outlaw factory farming, there's going to be a lot of work involved in defining factory farming and developing a law, and then you will have to allow time to phase it out and to upscale alternatives to factory farming and free range, which requires substantial investment from farmers. So I would love to see it happen in 3 years, but I just don't think that's going to be possible.
And do you think that animal activists in the future are going to be able to achieve more by working with environmentalists? Because, for example, our dairy industry, animal activists are concerned about the cruel treatment of cows and calves, and environmentalists are concerned about water quality. So do you think by working together that we can achieve more?
Absolutely. I think there is a big potential for that. Certainly when the, you know, filming of the body cards hit the national news, there were huge numbers of people saying, oh my goodness, this is just the final straw. Not only is dairying making our rivers dirty, but actually involves a lot of suffering as well. But I think one of the things that's potentially going to be a real game changer for the primary production in New Zealand is the fact that lab-grown meat is becoming more and more viable. And actually, if that takes off in a really large scale, we have to question whether it's going to be economic to be continuing to do mass production of animal products in the way that we have done it in the past.
So
it's interesting because we've had a submission presentation to select committee by the Parliamentary Commissioner for the Environment, who makes this point many times, that actually, you know, the farming industry does need to be prepared for the fact that actually in the future a lot more of that animal protein may well be grown in the lab rather than involving live animals.
And so we're probably going to move more to horticulture than agriculture in future, and that will have good outcomes for animals.
I would love to see that. But also, we should be able to free up a lot more land to be going to forestry, which will help with our carbon emissions. At the moment, we have too much grazing on marginal land that actually really shouldn't be in anything other than permanent forestry.
Now, the Greens support banning rodeo, but not banning greyhound racing. Can you just talk us through those two policies?
Okay, so we want better animal welfare outcomes for all animals, including greyhounds. And what we've said about the greyhounds is that we need more information in greyhound racing before we can commit to bringing in a ban. So we haven't said we won't ban it, but what we said, we can't make that commitment just yet. And the reason why we were able to say that we could support a ban on rodeo was because of the evidence that was presented to select committee by the SPCA and SAFE. It clearly showed that rodeo was inherently cruel and that the harmful impact could not be mitigated against. That level bar hasn't really been presented in greyhounds yet. The main issue with greyhounds is the lack of transparency. When just simply don't know what is happening. We don't know how many dogs are being euthanized, and we know it's a problem overseas. But what we also know is that in New Zealand, greyhound racing New Zealand does rehome a far greater proportion of their ex-racing dog than happened in Australia or something. So we have to be pushing hard for greater transparency. And there is a review being done right now by the Racing Industry Board to check that greyhound racing are compliant with their own laws. They have said and committed previously to select committee that they said they would become transparent. So I'm frankly getting a little bit fed up with them. I think it's well overdue that they stepped up and became transparent. And I'm hoping that that will actually happen
too. Do you think there is an opportunity to make improvements about live exports? Because I was quite surprised by how many parties want to improve the rules for live export or restrict it to only a very small number of animals.
The process is a farce at the moment.
Yeah.
We are exporting thousands of animals overseas. Two countries that have little or no animal welfare legislation. I mean, that is just not responsible. If we're saying that we're going to have a high standard of animal welfare in New Zealand, then surely we're morally and ethically responsible for the welfare of the animals that we send, that we don't send them overseas to countries where we know they will not be treated well. And we know that if they don't have any animal welfare legislation. So I think there's a lot of scope to tighten up on live export. On all levels.
And how do you think that could be progressed in the next parliament?
Well, what I would like to see is, you know, some of the parties like New Zealand First have made a strong statement around live export. So they should be putting a members bill in the ballot to do something about it. But I get a little bit cynical sometimes when a lot of the other parties are saying things that they're going to do things for animals, but they never, you know, lead a petition for a better or put a member's bill in the ballot or any of these things that actually would make a difference.
Mm.
It's like it's only come election time that suddenly you find out that in theory, on paper, they've got a policy that will do something for some animals.
Yeah.
So I would really like to see other parties, animal welfare spokesperson, being actually a little bit more proactive on animal welfare issues.
Mm. And do you think we could also progress cameras in slaughterhouses, because France, Israel and the UK have now done that? Do you think it's possible that we could do that here?
Yes, it would be great to have cameras in slaughterhouses. I mean, the undercover filming that has been done by FarmWatch has shown that there is an absolute need to know what is going on behind closed doors. And so absolutely, yes, that would have my full support.
Yeah, and so that would probably need a members' bill as well to progress?
It would need a members' bill, yes. And yeah, so I mean, what I would really like to see happen is, after the election, regardless of who forms the next government, is all the parties actually being challenged to do something about it. I believe that the Green Party has been the leader. We have been the one that has put out the most press releases, that we have been proactive in receiving petitions and trying to get changes, positive changes for animals through the Animal Welfare Act and running a campaign. And we have a committed Facebook page, Take Action for Animals, that raises animal welfare issues. No other party is only in that space. And I think if we want to actually get change, you've got to challenge some of the other parties to step up as well.
Mm. Not just leave it to one party, have a bit of action from some of the others.
That's right. I mean, I'm proud of our leadership, but I also want to see real change happen for the animals, and I recognise that that's only going to happen when more parties take it more seriously.
We'll look forward to that happening in the next Parliament. Thanks very much for your time, Mojo. Great to talk to you.
Thank you very much.
That's all we've got time for in this episode. Next time we'll hear from Labor and National about their animal policies. Thanks for listening. Please go to www.animalagenda2017.org.nz for more details of the political party's animal policies. You can also follow us on our Facebook page at Animal Agenda Aotearoa. Bye for now.
You've been listening to Safe and Sound, an animal rights program recorded at Free FM in Hamilton and broadcast through stations in the New Zealand Community Access Radio sector. You can follow the show via their Facebook page, which is Safe and Sound Radio Show and Podcast. And you can download and listen to past episodes by going to accessradio.org or through Apple Podcasts.